Previously on Quest Laid Plans.
Oh, cool big horse, cool big horse!
You link up with Cabriel's mind and you're met with this feeling of vacuousness. I don't want to, like, stir shit. I mean, like, Pearl is great. Maybe this is nothing. I was, like, 13 when Chiron died, and at that point, Porla didn't have anywhere to go, and she moved in with our family, and it just felt like everybody else was getting better and Porla was getting worse.
Yeah, it seemed like she was still really stuck in that.
Well, I think that's, like, her jam, right? Like, you know, like, I'm really into music, and you're really into, like, being a horse, and I think Porla's really into death, and I think that's what she maybe studied.
Like, funeral care or like necromancy?
I don't know what either of those are. She was talking about like a big frog that died.
Study death? ? Sad shit? ? Big frog? ?
Windswip, you have discovered some papers and what you saw set your mind spinning. And you recognize Porla's handwriting. The death and rebirth of a world is a free-for-all for the gods, and the winner takes it all. But no one has lost more times than me, and I'm still here, waiting. You write songs about me. You paint crude likenesses of me on the walls of your caves. You design great wonders from my bones. You cannot kill me. If it was possible to do that, I would already be gone. And if death cannot touch me, then nothing can. I have been known by many names, and a name is such a thin, fragile thing after all. And then you see a word written underneath. It's Quaris. You have this weird moment where you think back to excavating old sites with your mom and her crew. A lot of these books are about like prehistoric creatures, and you recognize like dinosaur footprints that look like the ones you saw back then.
She's gonna make notes of all of this. What could it all mean? Is it all connected, or is it just like maybe Porla's just sort of developed passing interest in prehistoric history? That would be cool.
So as you're galloping through the streets back to Nariah's brother's house, you guys have a chance to catch up a little more.
Evelyn, do you remember there was a letter I wrote to you several years ago, and I think I talked about some stuff that maybe I shouldn't have said at that point, but do you remember how Porla and Chiron were in love, and it wasn't, no one else was supposed to know at the time?
Like, I know we all loved Chiron. I think maybe I felt about her a little bit closer to the way Porla feels about her, but I spent a year doing nothing except feeling my feelings and sitting in that, and feels like maybe instead of accepting that death is a natural part of life, maybe Porla has kind of thrown herself into the idea that somehow Chiron can be brought back.
At this point, you guys arrive at the house.
You walk into this living room space, and it's very, like, cabin-like. I'm imagining it, like, L-shaped.
So I would like to do an insight check, like, on this poem.
So it's very clear to you that this is Porla writing out someone else's words. You don't know how you know, but it was Porla being dictated to. You don't realize that you've fallen asleep. Nariah, you wake first, and you see a bird repeatedly flying into your window.
I slide it up as it's about to hit the window again and just let it come inside. Like, what? What do you want?
You expect the bird to fly inside. What you don't expect is dozens and dozens more birds to follow suit, as in a giant swarm. And I need everybody to roll initiative. Welcome to Quest Laid Plans, the podcast that asks the question, can an old party learn new tricks? I am your dungeon master, Megan Kelleher, and with me are five mecha pilots that when they come together can form one big robot.
I'm Maya Isming, and I play Windswip Home, Air Genasi Gnome. Hi, I'm Philo Revelo. I play Kit Marple, a water genasi monk. I have no idea what my special pilot talent is. All I know is that I'm green.
Hello, I'm Jesse B. Kohler, playing the human boy, golden boy, Esther Miffiance, the foot sorcerer. The right foot.
Hi, I'm Jamie Hathaway, playing Aveline Yavri Skywatcher. I'm the hand that can turn it into a chainsword. Love you, Guillermo.
Pacific Rim is rigged.
The left butt cheek of the big robot. I'm Nedamarie Vojtova, and I play Naraya Winsworn, your rogue wizard halfling girl.
And sadly, they blew the whole animation budget on the foot, so I'm just a disembodied voice coming from ground control, reminding you all to roll initiative.
I got a 5.
I got a 9.
I got a 1.
What?
Oh, this is so bad.
Can I add my initiative to that? Or is it just a 1?
What? Yeah, you always roll your initiative modifier, yeah.
Okay, so I got a 4.
Oh, you're asking because it was a crit villain. Yeah, yes. No, you still have. Yeah.
I got an 8.
What? So no one got above a 10.
No, I did. I got a 14, but I was so sure that I'd be like 3rd or something.
Okay.
Everyone's
so
groggy. Oh, we're like waking up.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, these birds are waking us
the birds.
Up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. If I ever found out that something was flying into my home and about to attack me, and I was, like, just on the cusp of waking up, I would genuinely be like, I guess this is just how I die then, because I don't want to get
yeah. pecked to death by birds in your own bed.
I had, like, exploding brain the other day, which is I just learned about. I didn't know that existed, but apparently it's, like, restless leg of the brain where you have, like, auditory hallucinations and, like, right before you wake up.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never had that before, and I heard...
Wait, that's...
And I heard, like, a massive explosion outside my house. And I knew it wasn't real because my cat didn't wake up, but I was so freaked out. But also, what happened was my body went into a full panic, but in my mind, I was like, I'm just going to lie here and die. What am I going to do? It'd be nice to die on this couch.
Is the exploding brain is the same thing as like when you're falling asleep and you think you're falling and you like jump away?
It's a startle response, but it's like an auditory. Okay, so Windswept, you got a 14, and then the next highest was somebody got an 8?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
I imagine, like, you know when you're a kid and you think that there's a monster under the bed and you're like, if I hide my head under the duvet, the monster can't get me. Just having a bunch of
birds. Oh yeah, I felt like if I had my blankie over my ear, I was safe.
Blankets give plus 20 AC. It is
My blanket is a weighted blanket and it weighs like 15 pounds. And I was just debating in my head whether it would be armor or if I would be strong enough to just wield it as like a melee weapon.
A weighted blanket as a melee weapon is fucking genius.
Next time we play like a Nurgle fantasy campaign, I'm just wielding a weighted blanket.
It's like just throwing a heavy sheet over someone and knocking them down. Okay, so who got lower than an 8? Who was the next lowest?
I think it was me and then...
And then Esther.
Yeah, because I got a 5 and Esther, you got a 4.
Easy enough.
I was so convinced this bird would be a messenger.
Yeah, I was expecting it was really going to turn in a wild-shaped person.
I actually was too, and now I feel like an idiot.
Yeah, I was hoping for a wild-shaped person, and like full Maleficent.
I was getting Raven vibes. Never, like, quoth the Raven, nevermore. Tap, tap,
me
tapping
too.
On this, you know?
Yeah. Oh my god.
That great poem by Stephen King.
Great
Stephen King poem.
I'm going to refill my water bottle. It's 4 feet away from me, and then I'll be back in like 30 seconds. And then we stat.
While the DM is off microphone, we can scream.
What's metagame?
We can I was thinking scream.
I didn't stock spells to fight a bunch of birds. I was like, yeah, we're going to
sneak. Water spells for birds.
Like,
spells
feel like
for
you
birds.
Need AoE, right?
Bird spells for birds.
But who knows?
Oh, Tefan is going to be so mad. We're about to wreck his fucking house.
Yeah, we're going to trash this place.
All right, guys, ready?
No!
I guess.
No.
Okay.
Sure.
You see this swarm of birds rushing in through the window, and you hear a shattering sound as all the other windows in this large L-shaped room are besieged by a swarm of these little birds.
This is so bad immediately.
The birds continue to fly into your house, squawking madly, and they keep coming until you feel like almost every occupied space is birds. And just when you feel like you just can't shake a stick without hitting a bird, just when you feel like you're surrounded, you see them start to converge and form one large swarm. And they swarm tighter and tighter until it almost feels like you can't really tell where the birds end and begin. It's almost like moving as one large creature. And the creature is too tall for this tiny halfling house, and so it's bent over and it's kind of in a quadruped form. You see that its hind legs look relatively normal to you, like a dog or a horse or any other quadrupedal creature, aside from the fact that it's made of swirling birds. Shape-wise, the front legs are confusing to you. They are like large, gigantic triangles, upside-down umbrellas or big Doritos, pegs, you're not really sure. And it has a very long stooped over neck and a beak that is about 3 or 4 times longer than the diameter of its head and very sharp.
Oh my god.
It barely fits. It barely fits in this room with you.
Is this like if a pterodactyl was on its like front wings? Does it look kind of like that?
Yes, it looks like, I don't say like a pterodactyl, but like some sort of like pterodon situation.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Right. I don't know if you would know that, but like Phil knows, and that's fine. That's what I was going for. But I wanted to just give a disclaimer for this battle, which is that we're all in very close quarters, and I'm not particularly concerned with, am I close enough to this thing? Or being very hung up on placement of people and furniture. And like, I think we can just wing it a little bit, not to. Sorry. I didn't plan that. I think we just need to be. I'll say we'll wing it a little bit regarding range and such. I do think that we need to bear in mind that the dimensions of the room are probably like very generous. I mean, it's L-shaped, but like, I don't know, Netta, what would you say square footage wise?
I don't know how square feet work because I'm European. It's a normal sized living room. And also, I do want to say that even though Tevin is a halfling and he's like 4 feet tall at best, the house isn't like, it's not like Gandalf going to like Bilbo's house because Tevin is in a party with like some people of different ancestries and his house is adapted for, like, if you're like 5'5", you're probably fine. If you're a massive bird, you're probably not fine.
Yeah, like I'm picturing, I mean, the ceilings in the room I'm in, I'm assuming are like 7 or 8 feet tall, and I think it's so you get the feeling that this creature, this like swarm of birds figure at full bipedal height would be like at least 12 feet tall, so it's definitely it's in the, I think it's in like the large size class. That being said, you know, I think we probably want to be careful with area of effect and our allies as always, but in terms of like angling stuff or like am I behind a couch, kind of whatever you say goes, I believe you. So, that being said, you see this quadrupedal weird bird ball try and get its bearings in this weird cramped environment. And as it swings its head back and forth, its massive beak knocks over lamps and plants and guts a bookcase that it takes out one side of a bookcase that just kind of collapses and all of the books fall to the floor. It's absolute chaos. And it is Windswift's turn, top of the order.
Great. Quick question. We mentioned like people are waking up and whatnot. Is that going to affect everyone's AC? Or like if they wear armor, which Windswift does?
I think everyone slept in their clothes. And like,
okay.
I'm willing to fudge it and say that maybe you slept in your armor or close enough to it that you could grab it and put it on.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I also was going to say that Windswift was probably already waking up with the tapping and with Naraya going to open the window, so that could explain why she's a little ahead of the game from everyone else. But yeah, she just kind of two minds here. But I think just on instinct, she is going to just grab her Warhammer and just swing couple times, because this is obviously a pretty destructive force in the cabin. It's not a friend. So just roll her first Warhammer attack. 18.
That'll hit.
Cool. And this is just normal tiny Windswift. She hasn't
She's not going to get big because I think that will not help in this moment or be very uncomfortable. So that's going to be 12 damage on the first one. So just a big, just right smack into its side. It's just screeching birds.
Right. And what happens is you swing your warhammer and you do make contact, but the birds, like, they see it coming and they're able to thin out just a little bit around that area. So you don't make contact with quite as many as you feel like you should have. And you realize that it's going to be resistant to any kind of like bludgeoning type damage.
Okay. With the warhammer. Yeah. Normally does bludgeoning. Great. She's like, oh, well, these are some nasty birds and they're hard to hit. Everyone, get up. That should hit. It's a 24 on the second.
That also hits, yeah.
Cool. So that is going to be less 8 bludgeoning damage. Savage 4. And then as a bonus action, she is going to, on her chest plate, there is a rune of frost. And she's going to activate that. And kind of icy magic energy spreads from her chest plate through her body and her. It's kind of like when you're in cold air and you breathe and you get that little fog effect. She kind of gets that little bit of fog effect all over herself. And the frost rune increases her sturdiness. So she gets a +2 to strength and con checks and saving throws. I don't think, because she used her full action, so I don't think she has anything left to do, but I think her plan is on future turns, if possible, is going to try to push it out of the house as much as possible. So she kind of just activates this additional bit of sturdiness and kind of braces her warhammer against it, preparing to push it when she can.
All right. The creature feels you whack at it with this hammer a couple of times, and it whacks you back. You see the...
I expected the back whack. Yeah.
The back whack, yeah. You know how it happens. all right, it's going to kind of swing at you with what is, you know, once again, cannot stress enough, made of swarming birds.
Yeah.
Just really packed in tight, but would be sort of a 4-leg. Like, I think Windswib, you definitely know, just because you probably know about dinosaurs more than basically anyone here, that this would be sort of like a giant pterodon situation. And it's going to make an attack roll. That is a...
I think she communicates that to everyone too. She's like, this is one of those dinosaurs that we were talking about. It's like a winged one, like a really old, strong, big bird, which you can see now.
Does a 15 hit you?
It does not.
Okay, so you know it's coming based on your dinosaur knowledge, and you are able to kind of duck out of the way. Because
you know
dinosaur knowledge in general.
Whoa!
If there's one thing that we know about people who love dinosaurs is that they're immune to dinosaur attacks.
Yeah, they know how to. They learn about dinosaurs in order to be able to fight them one day.
Very important.
Very important. All right, is that your turn?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Okay, Nariah, it is your turn.
All right. So first of all, I am going to use my movement to... I think I see Windswib kind of, like, brace to, like, push it out of the way, and I'm like, gotcha! Yes, this bird needs to be out of this house. So I'm gonna use my movement to run to the front door and just open it, if you would allow this as, like, a free object interaction. Sure. I'm opening this door, and I do have halfling nimbleness, because I'm tiny, so I think I just, like, dodge past. Not, like, mechanically dodge, but just, like, kind of make my way past this bird from hell. And then, as I'm standing near the door, so that's my action, and then as I'm standing near the door, I will cast a spell. It's a bonus action spell, and that spell is Shadow Blade. And let me tell you what Shadow Blade is.
Yes, please. Tell me about Shadow Blade.
I weave together threads of shadow and create a sword of solidified gloom in my hand.
Okay.
This magic sword lasts until the spell ends its concentration, so I'm gonna have to keep concentrating on it. And it has the finesse, sleight, and thrown properties. And I am proficient in it. And also, we did say we're in close quarters, so I would argue there is another enemy of this bird about 5 feet away from me, which lets me sneak attack. So I'm just going to attack Big Bird.
Not Big Bird.
Big Bird, no.
It broke into your house and tried to vaccinate your children.
I was going to say.
I love Big Bird so much. So this is not Big Bird. This is Big Bird's evil cousin.
Yeah.
Bigger Bird.
Dino Bird.
Bigger Bird.
So anyway, I have +8 to this attack. It's a 17 on the die. Does a 25 hit Big Bird?
Yes.
All right, so it's going to be 2d8 from my spell. It is psychic damage, and then 1d6 from my sneak attack. 14 points of damage, and 8 of that is psychic.
What is the other 14?
It's 14 altogether. It's 8 psychic and... sneak attack is,
I would assume it's whatever weapon damage, like whatever type of damage that weapon would do.
But the weapon is, this weapon is a magic weapon, and it's all psychic. So I'm assuming it would all be psychic?
I'll allow it. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a dark spectral weapon.
Yeah.
It's not made of a pointy metal situation.
Yeah, so yeah. What I do is, to summarize, I run to the front door, I kick it open, and then in, like, the little shadowy corner of where the door has opened and, like, cast the shadow in this, like, sunrise, I gather some of the shadow, make it into a sword, and slash into Big Bird.
As you slash into Big Bird with your shadow sword, you see it make contact with its main body, and... the birds that were comprising the part of the creature that you hit, you see them get engulfed by this black shadow and disappear. And there are, you know, however many fewer birds in the swarm. And then the bird kind of recloses itself around that missing bird chunk.
Does it look...
So it's smaller, bigger bird, yeah.
It's not perceptibly smaller, but you know logically that it conceives of fewer small birds.
It's now. Less dense?
Sure.
So anyway, that's my turn.
Excellent.
Sweet.
At this point, you see, having been wounded and robbed of some of its birds, you see the, we'll call it the mega bird.
Yes.
You see the mega bird. That's what Nikki called it, so I'm going to honor that.
Amazing.
You see the mega bird sweep its head towards you, open its massive beak made of birds, and scream a stream of birds out at you.
Oh, God.
Oh,
wait, it can attack after every turn?
Are these legendary?
It has legendary actions.
Every turn, it does have legendary actions.
Okay. Oh, God damn it.
It's a legendary bird. Yeah.
The panic in Phil's voice.
I'm going to go get my Zapdos card now.
You see it eject. Basically, it ejects a swarm of birds from its bird beak at you, Naraya. The birds don't make it quite close enough in this slice of time to make contact with you, but they are now in your space. Or rather, we'll say they surround you, but they don't have time to start hurting you yet. And if anybody wants to, maybe whoever's next is Aveline. Like, Aveline, it's your turn. Give me a perception check as a bonus action. If you can use your bonus action, or I'll give you the option to use your bonus action on a perception check to figure out sort of precisely, like, what... is going on with
what
this bird in terms of like splitting.
I did actually want to do some kind of check there. I rolled a 17. I'm interested to know, for the purposes of trying to hit it, does this count as one creature, such as could be, for example, polymorphed? Or does it count as a swarm of smaller flying creatures, such as would be... blocked by the wind wall spell, which prevents smaller flying creatures from passing.
I love
just druid things.
# just druid things.
I love druids so much.
Okay, so here's what I'll say. I will roll that into your check for a 17. Here's what you see. You see that the bird, if you had to put a number on it, probably spewed out about a quarter of its mass and is now like a three-quarter size quadruped with a one-quarter size swarm over near Naraya. You assume that based on the density of birds, that the large quadruped creature would be considered one thing because the birds are so tightly packed, and that the swarm is more of a swarm of tiny creatures.
Okay. I really want to just try polymorphing the big bird.
Do it.
Into one little bird, please, God.
Or maybe no birds. Hey.
No more birds. Yeah. It needs to make a DC 16 wisdom save. And the new form can be any beast whose challenge rating is equal to or less than the target's or the target's level.
What was the DC?
16.
It got a 16.
Okay. Well, that was my one fourth level spell slot, so...
That was worth a shot,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. It was very close.
You see it take one of its large four-wing appendages and throw it up like a shield and block itself from your polymorph.
Okay. It was worth a shot. So if the perception check counted as a bonus action, then that's it. That's my turn.
All right. It is now the Megabird's turn.
God damn it.
Man, think of all the chicken nuggets you could get from a thing like this. I mean, just...
Oh, gotta get some tenders.
Yeah, get some real mega bird tenders.
It's like the chicken tenders that are like dinosaur-shaped for kids.
Yeah.
If I could have...
A dino nugget is the big valuable guy.
If I had successfully polymorphed, I would have polymorphed it into a dino nugget.
Okay, so the mega bird is going to... open its massive beak and puke out yet another swarm. So it shrinks down to half of its original size and is able to sort of, at this point, get back up on its quadrupedal legs and spread its wings. And you see this absolutely terrifying giant bird creature made of birds at its full terrifying glory. And the second swarm is also going to go to Naraya. And both swarms are going to surround her and make a pecking attack. I think they both miss, Netta. I just rolled like absolute shit. A 10 doesn't hit you, right?
Does not.
And the other one was a crit fail.
Wow.
You managed to just shield yourself from the pecking mouths of the birds.
I'm just swatting aggressively.
The larger bird, with its wings spread, is going to proceed to pull them inward and try to almost like sweep up whoever it can get in a massive, violent hug. And I'm going to say that's going to be Windswip and Kit.
Sure.
Okay.
Does a 16 hit you, Windswip?
Just hits. Damn.
And then it's a 25 for Kit. So both of those attacks
100% hit.
Also
hit,
just
roll
hits.
Damage.
Just hits.
So just barely hits. Let me roll damage for those real quick. Windswip, it's going to be 7 bludgeoning damage and 8 necrotic damage as the birds... It's like you move through them or they move through you, but it hits you like a wave. And it leaves this kind of weird trail of black. It's like a motion blur. Like it doesn't seem to be some sort of aura. It almost feels like you're looking at something that is captured on film that has a low frame rate or something. So it's just a very jarring sight. So you take, what is that, a total of, what is it, 8 and 7? 15 damage? And I'm going to roll damage for Kit as a similar thing happens to you, but on the other side.
God, I don't like that at all. I don't think that's how dinosaurs are supposed to work.
Okay, so it's for you, Kit, it's going to be 14 bludgeoning and 8 necrotic.
Unlucky.
Oh, no.
Unlucky. I also need both of you to give me a DC 17 con saving throw.
Okay. Well, I can add +2 to this because of Frost Rune as well. So.
20. Dirty.
Okay.
I had a whole +7 and I rolled a 2. So 9.
Oh. Windswip, you feel almost like nauseated by this weird distortion in reality that you're seeing, and you are going to be unable to regain hit points until the start of the Megabird's next turn.
The Megabird's next, like, real turn.
Right, so like a full round from now.
Yep. Okay.
Yay.
All right.
That's okay. That's okay. Hey, we're okay. I'm a tank for a reason.
That's everything for the Megabird, yes. Kit, it's now your turn.
And so, just to clarify, was that the Megabird's real turn that just happened?
Yes.
Okay, and when it was doing this hug, was it reabsorbing the other two swarms? Or was it just...
It was not. It was a hug, but it was like more of an attack.
Okay.
It's still in its half-size-ish form, bipedal, and the two swarms are still ejected and surrounding Narayan.
All right, so first... Are we still trying to get this Megabird out of here? Like, out of the house? That's still the plan?
I think if we can, because then there's more room to fight.
Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do then is... Well, how far away is the Megabird away from the open door?
I'm going to say, like, I'm picturing it, like, 15 feet.
Okay, so I'm not going to be too much help. But okay, actually the first thing I'll do is I'm going to whip at it first.
Wow.
Whip it.
You're going to whip it good.
Whip it good.
I'm going to whip it good. And that is an 18 to hit.
That's going
to
hit.
Nice.
All right. And so,
where are you whipping at the main body or either of the swarms?
I'm whipping at the main body.
Okay. Love to whip at the main body.
Okay.
And I will also spend a key point for Deft Strike, so I can add another martial arts die to that hit.
Cool.
So that's 7 piercing damage.
Okay, so that's going to be halved to 3.
Wow. All right. Then I'm going to run up to it, and then I'm going to make an unarmed strike at it. I'm just going to, like, I guess I just whipped it. I run up to it, and I, like, sort of jump up and try to kick it towards the door.
All right.
Oh, that's going to be a 14.
That does that not hit?
Okay, so that's sad.
You kick and the birds just completely, like, ghost your foot, and you kick through it and make contact with nothing.
Yeah, sure. So then I'm going to spend another key point to do patient defense as a bonus action, so I can take the dodge action. I dodge, basically.
Cool. Love patient defense.
And that is my turn.
Okay. The Megabird is going to take a legendary action. One of the swarms is going to come back at Narayan and make another attempt to do some pecking. That, I believe, is going to hit. It is a 15 on the die plus... I just need to look at the modifier. Plus 9.
Yeah.
Runic shield.
Okay. What does that mean? I have to reroll?
Yeah, that's the thing I was saying, where a creature within 60 feet of me, if they're hit by attack, then a shield kind of appears, and yeah, you have to reroll the d20 and use whatever the new roll is, so.
Hell yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Does a 22.
Yeah. You know what? Second chance. You gotta reroll
and
again.
And I do this again.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's really more like third chance, but I'll... It rolled off the table. Hold on. What did I come up with?
Sloppy dice.
It rolled off of one table onto another table. So I'm still going to use it. And that's going to be a 17.
Oh.
Damn.
These birds, you see Windswip throw up a runic shield in your direction. And the birds just, like, relentlessly throwing themselves beak first at it until they manage to completely eradicate it. And you are doing your absolute best, Narayan, to dodge it and use every magical ability at your disposal. And you're putting up a good fight, but these birds are relentless. And I'm going to roll damage. It's going to be 13 piercing damage.
Okay.
All that for a drop of blood.
Yep. All right. And it is now Esther's turn.
Okay. In these 6 seconds from hell, Esther is the last one to have woken up, wakes up, sees all of this chaos, and immediately, instinctually, goes, "Oh my God!" and points at the bird creature casting the True Strike cantrip.
Okay.
My magic grants me brief insight into the target's defenses. On my next turn, I gain advantage on my first attack roll against the target, provided that this spell hasn't ended. Yeah, so do I know, like, does something click with me of, like, what its defenses is, like, what its, like, weak points are?
In the text of that spell, does it...
Yeah, it's kind of vague.
Does it say that you get information? I think that you... I'm going to say that because it's vague, I'm not going to necessarily give you, like, super new information, okay. But I will clarify stuff that you probably could have already gleaned, which is that it has an AC of 17, and it has... It's like a cumulative hit point situation with the whole thing, and that bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing does half damage.
Great. Okay. And still in a panic, Esther looks around, sees looking through the window outside, and as his bonus action, Misty steps through the window outside of the house. A pure round of this is fucking horrifying, and I need to flight for a second away from this.
I love it.
So yeah, so Esther is now outside of the house.
All right, and that's your turn, right?
Yeah, I mean, either this round or next round, want to like look around and see like if there is any clues of what the fuck is going on outside.
All right, and I am going to say that the now bipedal mega bird is going to this time.
Megan, is the swarm? Is one of the swarms still up?
A big boy and two swarms, and the two swarms are, yeah. Realistically, if you have two swarms in one place, it's kind of one swarm, but for the sake of mechanics, it is two because they were ejected separately, just for my brain. Naraya, I need you to make a DC 17 dex saving throw.
Cool.
That's a 2 on the die, that's a 5.
Naraya, after the birds have pecked their way through your defenses, you feel half of them actually pull back, and the other half close ranks around you and form sort of a cocoon in the same fashion that they close ranks on the main body. So it's just absolutely no gaps in the swarm. You are engulfed by these birds. You are now blinded, deafened, and restrained, and you cannot breathe.
Cool. Fun. I was gonna say I'm shrieking, but apparently I'm not.
Because you can't breathe.
You can, but you are shrieking, but you can't hear it over the sound of the birds.
Flapping
and nobody
wings.
Can hear you.
Yeah, you see my little halfling legs just like kicking. Because that's all you can see from underneath the swarm.
Naraya!
All right, so as the rest of you see that this one of the swarms has engulfed completely Naraya, it is now Brex's turn.
Brex rolled even lower than ever.
Brex is always rolling so bad. It rolled a nat 1 and has a lower dex modifier.
Oh, no.
Just not a... they're hard to wake up. They don't like to wake up. Brex is going to... reach out and grab, like, not even gonna stand up because they just are not a morning person. Just barely opening their eyes, they're going to reach out and grab the ankle of Aveline, who I think is the closest, and is going to bestow on you the bolstering magic. So you have now for 10 minutes. You can roll a d3 whenever you're making an attack roll or ability check and add that, or you can roll a d3 and get a spell slot back of that level or lower.
Ooh.
So I guess we'll save that till your next turn to figure out like what you want to do there, but you have that now. And then as a bonus action, I think that you're going to see Brex go into a rage, which is, you know, not something that you haven't seen before, but a sleepy, I'm pissed that I was just woken up unceremoniously rage is really its own thing. And you just see Brex kind of pop to their feet and be like, fuck! And I rolled a 6, and so you see Brex scream, and out of their little, like, pointy-toothed mouth, you see all of these bright fucking lights fly out. out. Like, it's as though they're, like, screaming out little fireflies of every color in the rainbow. And in the same way that the birds have engulfed Naraya, these things are engulfing Brex, and they now have a +1 bonus to AC. And the allies within 10 feet get the same bonus. And I'm going to say that everybody except for Naraya and outside boy Esther are within 10 feet. Yeah. So +1 to AC for Kit and Aveline and Windswept.
I'm so mad I'm blinded and I can't see this.
How long does the this bonus to AC last?
This lasts as long as Brex is in a range.
Amazing.
All right, and then that is Brex's turn.
Was Brex sleeping under their disgusting coat?
Oh, yeah. It's multi-purpose. Seeing Brex scream and surround themselves with these beautiful rainbow fireflies, you see this creature look at him and almost appear a little offended. It kind of ruffles its feathers made of feathers that somebody else would try swarming and to outswarm this thing. And you see it rear its head back, open its giant beak, and scream. And this time, rather than birds coming out of the beak, you see dozens more birds fly in through the broken windows and through the open door and join
no!
it.
No! Oh, fuck!
God damn it!
Oh, my God. I'm so mad I can't see this.
God, birds on birds on birds.
Birds on birds on birds indeed. But first, breaks on breaks on breaks. Hello, everybody. It is I, Megan, here with a couple of very exciting announcements. The first announcement is that we now have a Questlaid Plans Discord server. So if you've ever wanted to chat with the cast and crew and your fellow questies, you can now do that. And we're really excited to get a little community going where we can chat about the show and whatever we want. So if you want to join this Discord server, you can go to bit.ly/questlaiddiscord. Or questlaidplans.com/discord. The other announcement that I wanted to let you know about is that in addition to our monthly bonus episode, Pitch a Bitch, which is Netta's bonus show where we talk about characters that could be or never were, we also have an extra treat this month, which is that I'm going to be putting up the stat block for this monster, this megabird. It is homebrewed by our creative consultant, Nikki Nenkov, who is an incredible homebrewer, an incredible person, and it is a truly, it's a beast of a beast, is what I will say about this stat block. So if you want to include the Mega Bird in your home game or take it and tweak it into a Mega something else, that is going to be available on our Patreon, patreon.com/questlaidplans. Producing a podcast is not cheap. And if you want to help us out, please consider becoming a patron. If you want to help us out for free, you can always give us a 5-star review on your podcast listening platform of choice and leave us a nice note, review, comment, shout us out on Twitter, tell your friends. Word of mouth is king. And we so, so, so appreciate hearing from you guys and are so glad you're enjoying it. We're having fun putting it out. And we can't wait to talk to you guys on Discord and share our stuff with you on Patreon. And without further ado, even more birds. Enjoy the rest of the show. Okay, so we are picking up the top of the second round of this battle, and Windswip, it is your turn.
Great. Windswip, just seeing how quickly everything has gone wrong, is going to use her recently recalled storm rune. I have to keep track of where her runes are on her equipment, but I think I was picturing this one as an amulet that will kind of like spark up and just kind of enters her eyes and they kind of start glowing and sparking white as she looks around and she kind of enters this prophetic state. This is a bonus action. And this is going to help on her reaction. She can help either give advantage to her friends' roles or disadvantage to her enemies' roles. And I think she's looking specifically... Yeah, I think she's looking specifically at the swarm where Naraya was once visible.
She was there once.
There was Naraya, and now there's only birds.
I still hear her screaming.
The thing is, you can't hear me screaming.
It's true, you just hear birds.
I can't produce sound for some reason, was part of it. I can't be screaming.
Blinded and deafened?
I'm blinded and deafened, and I can't breathe, so I'm very much not screaming. Anyway.
And all of that to say is, and in case I wasn't clear about that, it's like you are blinded and deafened because all you can see and hear is like wing flapping and pecking and birds, and you can't breathe because there's birds instead of air around you.
That's fucking horrifying.
So for all Windswift knows, Naraya has become birds. It's a bad situation, and she's hoping that this will help. And now, do you mind if she takes a free action to quickly confer with the people around her, like just quickly speak?
Yeah, not at all. I think I've been like kind of loosey-goosey with this, but yeah, as long as you could like reasonably have an exchange within 6 seconds, I'll allow it.
Okay.
I know the whole turn's supposed to be 6 seconds, but like whatever, you can talk while you do things. I don't care.
Okay. She kind of calls out, and Kit's right next to her, but obviously if Aveline and Brex hear this as well, they can chime in. Should we keep just pushing it out or just try to kill it in here?
I think we need to disable this big one somehow because it's generating more birds, and that's no good. I think I might have a way to do that. I think we can't waste any more time trying to push it out.
Okay, I'm gonna hit it then. And she's gonna try to hit it. That is a 16 plus 7, 23.
That will hit.
Great. It's going to do 13 bludgeoning damage, although I know that this thing has resistance to that, so.
Right, so halved to 6?
Yeah, I think so. All right, and other attack. Second attack, 15.
That does not hit.
Darn. Okay, yeah, so I think that's all she can do is just take a big whoomph whack with her hammer and gets like 6 birds.
Yeah, you swing down with your beautiful pastel pink hammer and you manage to crush like half a dozen birds. And we'll say that on your attempt to swing back, the hammer actually got stuck in the floor, which was a beautiful hardwood floor of like this cabin, and it just broke right through the floorboards, and the effort to get it out of the floor prevented you from getting another swing in on the bird. Tefan is gonna have some words about his floor, I think.
What up?
That's a really good Tefan impression.
Have you seen this hardwood? What up?
But he is treaty tall.
What up, fuckers?
Naraya, I can't believe you let your friends come here and fuck with my shit, man.
The thing is, that is the vibe I was envisioning.
Tefan party campaign 2.
I gotta rein this in. We're reining this in. Windswift, is that your turn?
Yeah, that's all she can do, really.
Okay, Naraya, it is now your turn, and I need you, before you do anything else, to give me a DC 17 dexterity saving throw, assuming you would like to not be in this swarm anymore. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I do it 17, precisely.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
14 on the die.
Okay. You are going to take a little bit of damage as you summon all of your rogue dexterity to dodge in between these like infinitesimal cracks between birds. You do catch some talons and some beaks here and there, so I'm going to roll that damage now. You're going to take 10 piercing damage.
Jesus.
And 5 necrotic damage.
So 15.
Yep.
Alrighty. I'm gonna roll my concentration because I've taken damage, but I still have my dark, gooey shadow sword up. So that's a constitution. Nice. Yeah, I'm 15. So the sword is still here. I may be covered in birds, but I still have a sword.
All right. The swarm does not disperse. It disperses enough for you to get out of it, kind of tuck and roll away. It is still a swarm that exists, though.
Cool.
We'll call that your movement to claw your way out.
Amazing.
Because it's kind of like getting up from prone, right?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, in the swarm.
So you use your movement to get up, but then you still have...
That is a good title.
Prone in the swarm. That's Tefan's band name.
Yes. Yes,
gotta keep her running.
Or their first album.
There's so boxes of unsold merch everywhere, just getting destroyed by this bird.
Not the cropped hoodies. They worked so hard to crop those.
Not the cropped hoodies.
Is it a gent band?
What is that?
What's gent?
What is a gent band?
Think of gent as jazz metal. As in, like very. Just look, not it's awful.
What I would think of when I hear the word gent. That is very opposite.
I was picturing like a speakeasy, like gentleman.
Like full like swing fantasies. No, I think Tefan's band is full on ska, actually.
Oh, that works.
Buy that. All right, so.
I still have my action and my bonus action, and here's what I'm going to do with them. I'm going to Misty Step to the top of just any cabinet that is in this room and puts me above the big bird.
So I think I had already established that the bird destroyed the cabinets in its immediate vicinity when it kind of expanded its wingspan. But I will say that you can be on a cabinet.
Or like a bookshelf.
Well, here's what I'll say. I'm going to roll a d10 for how many feet away from the bird you managed to get. All right, so you are 8 feet from the bird, which bad news is like not right on top of the bird. Good news, that does put you in range of Brex's +1 AC.
Hell yeah.
Firefly lights. So I'm going to say that you are on top of a cuckoo clock that is kind of next to where Windswip is.
Did the birds save the cuckoo clock? Because it was bird themed. They view it as an ally.
They want to save their brethren from inside the clock.
That's so sad. Why would you do that to my world?
Oh, God. So anyway, I still have my action. And my Shadow Blade does have the thrown property. So I'm just going to go ahead and throw a shadowy knife at Big Bird.
What a sentence.
21.
That'll hit.
And I'm close to my allies, right? I'm good. I add my sneak attack.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 2d8 plus 1d6. Nice. I need those rolls to be so fucking good. They're fine. 15 plus 2, 17 points of damage.
Okay, 17 points of psychic damage.
You're just frying their little bird brains out.
Yeah. I'm using the fact that I'm in the cuckoo clock as psychological warfare.
Yeah, you pop out and you're like, what's up, bitch?
I pop out from inside the cuckoo clock.
Time to die. So what does it look like when this massive, like, pterodon made of small birds is assailed with your shadow knife?
The shadow sword just looks like it is not done rendering. It's just dark. And I think it just, like, gets lost in birds. Because it reappears in my hand because it's magic. So I think it just, like, fully to the butt end of the hilt just disappears inside birds.
Hell yeah. And I think that you see radiating out from it that the birds immediately around the area where it hit turn into black shadows and then disperse.
Take that, mother cluckers.
There we go.
There we go. Aveline, it is your turn. You have the +1 to AC and the other thing that Brex gave you with the D3.
Okay, cool. I am going to cast a second level Scorching Ray, which lets me throw three rays. So I'm going to roll to see if any of those hit. Oh boy. One of those is a nat one.
Oh no. Wait, I can give you advantage on that one because I didn't use it for Naraya.
Ooh, with advantage, that is a 21 to hit.
Yeah.
I also rolled a 19 to hit and then a 12.
12 won't hit, but what happens is you see this sort of like light from Windswip's eyes shoot out to you in like a lightning bolt, and all of a sudden you feel like what was going to absolutely miss. You see the Scorching Ray itself kind of curve like a fastball, and a curveball, I guess, is the one that curves, right? I'm good at sports. and make its way back to the bird, right its course, as it were. So yep, the two of those are going to hit.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
The first one is 10 damage, and the second one is a big 2 damage.
Okay,
so that is,
and that's fire,
12 right? Fire damage.
Take it.
To the bird.
Amazing.
Firebird. Stravinsky.
Stravinsky.
Smells like barbecue in here now.
It smells like KFC, and it sounds like Stravinsky.
And I'm throwing those. I'm throwing those at the pterodon, the big guy, not the smallest worms.
Okay, sure. Excellent, excellent. Is that your turn?
That's my turn.
Okay, it is now the megabird's turn.
Oh boy.
The megabird. I'll do the swarms first. I walk into the party, swarms first.
It's ominous as hell.
Just as you've had this conversation strategizing about how you need to take out the large bird. And just as Naraya has managed to break out of the swarm and Misty step away, you see the big bird once again raise its two large wings, and it once again lets out a primal pterodon scream that sounds like the screams of a million birds. And this time, it almost looks for a moment like it's tearing in half. And it looks, I mean, it sounds like it might be tearing in half. And before you know it, the main body of the bird has broken up into two swarms. And now there is no big bird. It is four swarms.
Four swarms in 7 years ago.
And that was its bonus action.
Oh my god, its bonus action was tearing itself in half?
The swarms kind of, you see them kind of come together and come apart and fly around sort of at random at first. And then they grow still. And then you see them, all each of the four of you, I guess Brex and Aveline are sort of together for the purposes of this. You see each of the four of you sees a swarm coming towards you. And one of those swarms is going to have time to do what I want it to do. Who's closest to it? Probably Kit and Windswip. I think Kit is the closest.
Yeah, because I tried to kick it.
Right. So, Kit, you are going to have to make a DC 17 dex saving throw.
DC 17 dex? Okay.
You got it. Come on.
That is 19.
Yay!
All right.
Fucking monks!
You feel the birds try to surround you the way that they did Naraya, and you just think, like, that's not going to happen to me. That looked fucking awful, and I don't want that. So you managed to monk your way out of it with, you know... Yeah, exactly. Some kind of cool move.
Hot.
I think what it is they try to engulf me, and I, being a water genasi too, a lot of my monkiness is about... monkiness. A lot of my monk qualities are about, going with the flow. So I sort of step into it and through it instead of like actually dodging Damn. Aside.
Hell yeah.
You dive into the wave.
So you managed to avoid that, and that is its turn. And now, Kit, it's your turn.
Okay, so I've like stepped through the swarm. I turn around, look at it, and I have my whip out, but I decide to take out one of my Eskrima clubs, and I just try to hit it. I take it, and 11 does not hit.
That does not.
I will take my second attack, also with the stick.
Okay.
Oh, good. That is a 21 to hit.
That will hit, yes.
6 bludgeoning, so that's half to 3, but I will also expend a key point to do, since I hit with a melee weapon, I will do a stunning strike. So it has to make a DC 13 con save.
Really want this to work. I just want to imagine an entire swarm of birds being stunned by one strike.
It does save, and as you hit it, you get the feeling that no matter how hard you hit it, it probably isn't capable of being stunned.
Okay, well that's good to know. So what am I gonna do? Yeah, I am going to take a. I'm gonna spend another key point to do Step of the Wind to bonus action disengage. And I'm going to, I basically want to run so I am like close to the, like I kind of want to take it out the door basically, or run out the door. Can I do that? Or will I take like opportunity attacks from other swarms?
I was sort of picturing it like you were closest to the door out of everybody, which like maybe is based on nothing, but I'm going to say that you would take an opportunity attack from the one that you're fighting, but
I mean,
not
even if
other
I
ones.
Wait, even if I take a disengage.
Oh right, no, I forgot you can do that as a monk. Yep, bonus action disengage, and then yeah, you won't run into any other ones if you exit the building.
Okay, so yeah, then I use my whole movement then, or my 45 movement to get out the door.
Okay,
Winslet back there is just like, oh, that was the move. That was cool.
The mega bird is now going to use a legendary action. And the swarm that is nearest to Windswip is going to attempt to engulf. So I need Windswip to give me a DC 17 dex save.
Okay. Maybe I'll get lucky.
15.
All right. You are so distracted seeing Kit absolutely bolt out of the room that all of a sudden you see, one second you see him bolt and the next you see nothing but birds and you hear nothing but birds and you can breathe nothing but birds.
Oh my God.
As you are engulfed.
It's okay. I'll be good when I get my reaction back, maybe. We'll see.
All right, just now, Esther's turn. Esther, you are outside. Kit has joined you.
Kit!
Yeah.
We them boys. Outside.
Good start.
Good start. I'm going to... So I cast True Strike on when the bird was one big bird last round. So I have advantage on my first attack against it. Does that apply...
That is sustained because in my mind, like, if it's sharing HP among itself and all has the same AC, which, like, I think we've all probably figured out by now, then yeah.
Okay, great. So in that case, I want to cast a Blight on one of the swarms. So that would be a Constitution saving throw, DC 15.
Do you have a particular swarm in mind?
I mean, it has to be one that I can see. So I'm picturing, like, Esther's looking through the window, like, into the house, or I guess through the front door.
Yeah, if you are... I'll say that in your line of sight, you could probably see the one that Kit just escaped from, and you can see... I think you can probably see the one engulfing Windswept, and I think those are the two you
Great.
Could probably
so
see.
So definitely the one that doesn't have my companion inside of it.
Okay.
Attack. Because I feel
I don't
like,
know how that would go
I, yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, I think not good.
it rolled a 7. I believe that's a failure.
Okay, so sorry, excellent. Let me roll damage. 8d8.
Hell yeah. Love Blight. Love
Jesus.
Blight.
Jesus. I'm so glad that we decided that Blight is the kind of necromancy we can do.
Yes.
Yeah. Seems legit.
So that's 36 necrotic.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, boy.
Hold for one second while I do math.
And which one was this again that you were going for?
The one that you just escaped.
Thanks, man.
I got you.
Bros.
Okay, so here's what happens. What does your blight look like?
So I think Esther lets out a little, like under his breath, a bit of a snarl. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's like these... golden strings sort of like come out of his finger and like they like wrap around through the different birds, and as they like pass over different birds you like see the life energy drain from them.
All right, so as you do this you see your golden strings tighten around this swarm and kind of compact them into like a little, it's like a little golden net full of just like packed in birds, and you see the energy sort of penetrate into them, and just as it looks like they are about to completely just disintegrate, they manage to peck a hole in the side of the net and shoot single file into the swarm that is nearest to Naraya, and you see them merge, and they are once again in this large quadrupedal form. So we now, just God to damn. Recap, have a swarm around Windswept, a free agent swarm, and a big bird.
Okay. I also realized that when I was outside when, like, more of the birds came to join, can I retcon do, like, a perception check to see if I, like, saw where they, like, were coming from?
I'm gonna say sure.
Yes, I got a sure.
Dramatic pause. Sure.
Okay, well, it doesn't even matter because it's a frickin' 4.
Okay, I'm gonna say you were, like, towards the house, so they were just coming from, like, behind you and all around.
Okay.
But you weren't, but not in a perceptive origin. Just from everywhere.
Okay. Yeah, so I think Esther is gonna run up to Kit and just stand by his side, and I think that's the end of my turn.
It is now Brex's turn, and as much as it would be funny if Brex left the house so we could say Brexit, that's not what we're going to do.
God damn it!
The swarm near Naraya was the one that turned into the big bird.
Yes.
Yes. And so it is near them, but then there's also another swarm right there.
There's a free agent swarm that needs somewhere. To be signed to a team.
It's like a real bidding war for that one, because like just a really promising talent.
Yeah, just out of high school,
right out of the college league.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Oh, I gave it an education.
Don't you feel bad now?
Yeah, no, I put that away.
This bird's the first bird to go to bird school from its family.
No.
Shit.
So technically, whenever Brex flies into a rage, their sword Bedlam kind of goes through like a roulette of changing into various different weapons until it settles on one. And that didn't happen last time because they hadn't actually drawn the sword. But you see Brex draws Bedlam now, and you see him draw out this Vanta Black greatsword that then transforms into a knife that then transforms into a fucking flail. And it finally settles on just the skinniest, sharpest little rapier. And you know, some rapiers have like really like ornate, beautiful hilts and like guards and whatever the fuck. This one just is like spikes. And you see, it's just not elegant. It's just gross and dangerous looking. And you see Brex go, fuck.
Oh no.
You can tell Brex is maybe not the most thrilled at having like essentially like Game of Thrones Arya Stark needle. perhaps like, you know, a bigger sword might have been.
You know when you're trying to hit a giant swarm of birds, but you can only skewer them individually?
Yeah, so Brex stabs through the large quadruped just like right in the center of its body. And although it is very much like a shish kebabbing, skewering as many birds as possible situation, with this like feral yell that he lets out, you see a bunch of birds get skewered on this thing, more than you thought could probably like fit on a normal non-magical rapier. And as Brex is shouting, "Nor!" you realize that you've seen Brex do this before. Brex is using Fury of the Small to do extra damage.
Hell yeah.
And so even though it is not a spell, it's like the kind of weapon that normally would do half damage, you see it do full damage, and the bird is going to take 13 damage.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
And bonus action, Brex is going to then unskewer the birds, which are going to fall to the ground and poof away in a Vanta Black cloud of dust, and sort of take a step into a defensive stance, and it's the disengage action as the bonus action. That is Brex's turn.
Amazing. Nariah claps from the top of the cuckoo clock. She enjoyed that.
All right, it's now Windswip's turn. Windswip, I need you to make a DC 17 dex save.
Okay. Here goes nothing. That was a bad die to use, but she's going to use... I got five total. But she is going to... She get her reaction back, so she's going to use that on herself and roll. Oh, man. It's another 15, so it didn't.
Oh.
She can't breathe, see, or hear, but can she still technically make attacks and stuff? Is it all at disadvantage?
Restrained is one of the things it says.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think you can't do much of anything, and also technically I think you're not supposed to take a reaction on your own turn, maybe, but...
Oh, well...
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. It didn't matter anyway, right?
I mean, it's up to... If you say that she shouldn't have taken a reaction, then I can save that for someone else.
No, I think that I... okay, yeah, then no. My house rule is you take reactions on other people's turns in reaction to things other people did.
Okay, fine. Then she, I mean, it doesn't, she's stuck, but she still has the storm room reaction in case, not that she can tell what's going on, though.
Yeah.
You fully made me useless. Megan, are you happy?
happy.
Is this what you wanted all along?
Yeah, so you are now going to take some damage that I'm going to roll.
Yeah, do it. Do it, coward.
Fucking hit her. You're really going to go after this tiny little adorable pink.
Yeah.
Cotton candy fantasy baby child who is also so strong and full of magic, and you're gonna kill her by birds?
Yeah, do it.
It's gonna be 19 piercing and 8 necrotic.
Yikes.
So 27 total?
Yes.
Right?
Wait, did you... can you enlarge?
I that's a bonus action, and I don't think I can do anything.
I think it depends on how that works, because if it's truly just something that you make happen from inside your heart and would be able to break you out of a restrain, then...
You're imbued with the might of giants. As a bonus action, you magically gain the following benefits. If you are smaller than large, you become large. if you lack the room to become large, your size does not change. So I don't know if that
if this counts as her not having room.
I think if you're engulfed by birds, then you're kind of... That's like being in a very small closet.
But, like, the birds maybe are separate particles, though.
Yeah.
It's not the same as, like, being in, like, a chest or something. Because you can separate the birds.
I will leave it up to the DM.
I love me some DM bargaining.
Can our small friend be big, please?
Wow. Really dragging us along.
Processing.
I'm going to say that if you can make yourself large or larger, so like I guess just bigger than medium, so large is the size, right? If you can do that, then you will be able to overcome the swarm because there won't be enough birds to like cover you.
Okay. Would you let me retcon and do that as a bonus action, or...
It just happens, right? Like, it's not like you don't have to, like, do any sort of, like, Naruto jutsu or, like, say any spells.
Yeah, I mean, it is a bonus action, but yeah, it just happens. It's a magic thing that just, she's just gross.
Yeah, that's cool as shit. We're gonna let it happen.
You didn't use your bonus action, did you?
No, you didn't do anything.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I couldn't do anything. So yeah, free to just get large.
Large.
So... I think it's, and just through the way that we've been talking about it, I think, like, as she's taking all this piercing damage, y'all just see just a big blue being just emerge from this swarm of birds and just, ow, 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 ow! Ow! Okay. Okay. Where are they?
And you see the swarm kind of back off of you and confusedly kind of scatter for a minute and then reform into a swarm, but it's not around you anymore. It's sort of in front of you.
How tall are you again, Winslet?
Large creatures, I think, are about, I think, like 10 feet.
Are you?
I think
that's,
it's, are
that's
you
good for the
through
ceiling.
The roof?
I, well, yeah,
this is a halfling house.
I think she's bent over. Yeah, I think she has to, like... bend over and just be a little cramped. That's why she didn't want to be here.
I don't want to be
Alice
here.
Alice in Wonderland, your feet are like sort of in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But the good news is that you are actually a little bit bigger than the quadruped creature now. And you, I think you still have an action and movement, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, if you'll let me use one. Yeah. So she's like,
maybe not movement, because I think that's what we said then.
Yeah. So she's just like hand pressed against the ceiling, just kind of grabbing her also now enlarged warhammer, and just is gonna just try to knock it.
Punch it in the face, Windswip! Punch it in the face!
You're just doing some croquet.
Yeah.
Like a judge's gavel.
Just a croquet hammer type thing. And yeah, I guess she'll roll. Thanks, Phil, by the way. She will roll and horribly with a nat 1 from her first attack.
It's all good. So
you're still getting the feel of the hammer in the house, let alone the giant hammer in the house.
Yeah,
With a nat 1, you poke a you as you draw back your hammer to bring it down, you manage to poke a hole in the ceiling and plaster rains down.
I'm sorry.
As you dislodge
the sweater dresses.
A pile of Naraya's clothes that she decided not to wear to the reunion falls down through the hole. It's just clothes, so it doesn't hurt or anything. It's just really annoying.
Oops. I'm sorry. I panicked. I couldn't see anything. Her second attack she'll take will be a 21 to hit.
That one will hit.
Okay. We're getting somewhere, guys.
There we go.
And to be clear, are you attacking the swarm that was just around you or the big bird?
The big one, sure. I think. Yeah, just going for its head as the others suggested. That is 11 bludgeoning. So half to 5. So just... just like just the most awkward, like, you know, strike angle and just trying to squish birds up against the ceiling.
It's a little bit of a whack-a-mole situation.
Upside-down whack-a-mole.
Yeah, except the scale is all wrong, but you do manage to bring your hammer down and squish kind of like the corner of one of the wings of the large quadruped creature, and also you feel, unfortunately, underneath you squish one of Nariah's fancy high-heeled shoes. You just feel it crack.
I'm sorry.
You can buy me new shoes. It's fine.
Yeah, I'll buy you a new one.
So to recap, in the space of six seconds, Windswift went from being completely engulfed and suffocated by birds to like tripling in size, punching a hole in the ceiling, and then squashing a bunch of the birds and some clothes with the hammer. Excellent turn.
Amazing. Very good.
Hell of a turn.
And she did take 27 damage.
So you're just incredibly bloody this whole time.
Yeah.
Claws and beaks really, really got you when you were in there.
Really, yeah.
I imagine the wounds grow with you, but like you have more blood, so it's just...
It's just a mess. She's making the biggest mess.
It is now Nariah's turn.
Nariah is... kind of struggling because there is not much she can do from where she's at on top of the cuckoo clock.
You're probably also like kind of eye level with the big bird at this point.
You know what? I still have my sword with me and I it's my best option because everything else will destroy this house and hurt my friends. So what I'm gonna do is try to poke Big Bird in the Big Bird eye with my shadow sword. That's a 16 plus 8 is 24 to hit.
That will
hell
hit.
Hell yes. So I'm just like very inelegantly because there's a wall behind me so I can't really swing back. I just kind of like poke at it. It's not great sword technique, but it is going to do 16 points of psychic damage.
Hell yeah.
And then, just for funsies, I'm going to use my bonus action to hide. Yes. I imagine the cuckoo clock has those, like, ornaments on top, so I'm just gonna kind of curl up behind them.
All right. Before we get to Aveline's turn, well, let's see. So a couple things are gonna happen. First, the large... quadruped, which again, now I say large,
no.
It's
as large as Windswift, so it's a little, it's all relative here, but it's going to make an attack at Windswift, and let's see. Ooh, that is a crit.
Oh no.
Really starting to hate
them.
Oh, birds.
Jesus Christ.
Really starting to hate them.
So I'm going to impose disadvantage on it for that.
Yes.
Divination is so fucking good.
It's still hits.
That's okay.
But it's not
That's
a crit.
Okay.
It's not a crit.
We'll take it.
You see it coming and you are like, this could be so very bad and there's no way to get out of the way, but you manage to at least sort of mitigate it. So it's only very bad and not catastrophic. So I will roll just the regular damage for that. So 12 bludgeoning and 10 necrotic.
So that's a total of 22.
Yep. And you also need to make a DC 17 con save.
Another one. Oh, jeez, Louise. Yeah, not gonna do it. 7.
You are now also unable to regain hit points until the start of the Megabird's turn, which bright side is pretty soon. It's like after Aveline, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel the wing that you had managed to damage swipes you back, and while you did kind of mitigate the damage a little bit, it gets you quite good, and with that necrotic energy, you find yourself once again overtaken with this feeling of just being unwell.
She's breathing really heavily. And is just barely standing at 4 hit points.
Oh, God.
So, can you not go above 4? Or how much is your maximum, what you can be healed up to, currently reduced
I just don't think I can be regained. I can't regain any, so I'm just stuck here at 4.
Yeah, your maximum
until the end of its turn.
So, basically, the only person who would have had time, who has a turn to do it, so, like, Aveline, if you were going to heal Windswift, it just wouldn't take for this turn.
Right, okay.
Okay, and the other thing you see is Kit and Esther from outside. You hear it before you see it. You hear the chirping and squawking of a Well, let me roll and see how many
more
birds
fucking
are coming
shit.
In from all directions.
I'm sorry, you wanted to finish this battle? By which mean you wanted to kill everyone?
Yeah, this is a TBK.
One way to go. Yeah.
We're in episode, like, what, like six or something? And this is a TBK.
Hey, it's cool. I'm a tank. This is what I
do. So there's the big bird inside, and then there's three swarms, right? Around?
No, I think there's two now.
There's only two and two other ones inside, I think.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's about to be more.
Yeah.
You see the birds, first of all, they rush past you, Esther, and Kit, and I need each of you to make a DC 17 dex save, as their wings are very short.
Do they get attacks of opportunity on the birds?
Sure. Dex saving, you said?
We'll say you get an attack of opportunity and a dex save.
I got a 16.
I got a 7. I failed.
Oh, God. Here's what I'm going to say. The birds are focused more on getting inside the broken windows than they are at actually hurting you. And so what I'm going to say is that rather than really hurting you, the two of you are just knocked prone by that and can't take opportunity attacks right now.
Okay.
So you kind of knocked on your asses by the swarm of birds flying into the house. Those of you who are in the house, you see and hear even more birds, exclamation point, TM, as the move is called in the stat block, join the quadruped creature, and it grows just a little bit until it is now about eye to eye with hunched over Windswept. And it is now Aveline's turn.
Okay. Are any of the swarms currently engaged with anyone directly inside the house?
No.
Okay. I am going to cast Wind Wall. I can make the wall up to 50 feet long and 15 feet high and 1 foot thick, and I can shape it in any way I choose to as long as it makes one continuous path along the ground. So I would basically like to throw up this ball of wind as a barrier in whatever kind of slightly awkward, wiggly shape it needs to be to put it between the big bird and the swarms and the birds coming, and then with me and Brex and Naraya and Windswept on the other side.
Oh, I see. So you want to keep out the external things, but also have you guys be on the other side of it from all the enemies?
Yes.
So it's sort of like encircling all of the current swarms in like a wind prison, kind of, so that you're like outside and they're inside?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I will definitely allow that. So I think that the way it works is it's thrown up kind of at the threshold of the door, and then it curves around. It's pretty tight because you guys are kind of engaged with the big guy, but it does kind of cut really, really close to those of you who are engaged with the quadrupeds. That would be like Windswept and Brex and Naraya, and it cuts just like so close. This, you could like feel the wind blowing through your eyelashes as it goes past, and it encircles the big quadruped and the two swarms. So there is just a gigantic, it almost looks like a tornado in the middle of this living room, and you can see the shadows of birds flying against it, but mostly all you can hear is wind now.